1350 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN on this Thursday morning, where March 1st, March is here already. We got a great show for you for this whole hour. My favorite In Focus by far. This is my favorite In Focus. We have reached the pinnacle. I'm here with NBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Vanier. A little later in the last half hour, we'll have Governor's Military Council Executive Director, Perry Wiggins. But right now, Marty Vanier is in the studios with us, and welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to talk NBAF. A lot of you have a busy day. You were telling me off air that it's a busy one for you, but it's always busy when we're talking about NBAF and dealing with those issues.
Well, this is true. And for everyone who drives by and looks at the site, you can tell that there are a lot of things going on. The building's up out of the ground, lots of trucks in and out all the time. The biggest news was last Friday. We took down the third tower crane, so we now just have one tower crane up there, and its major job is obviously lifting materials that are needed for the upper levels of the building, but it's also there to lift a lot of the bigger pieces of equipment that go in the building and sort of drop them down through the appropriate openings. So the building is coming alive.
You can definitely see it. It's peeking out everywhere. I was jogging around the K-State campus, I think a couple weeks ago is when that was, when we had one of those nice days in the middle of the week. I was jogging around campus for the first time in a long time since I was a student. Uh-huh. It was actually kind of emotional from time to time. Some of those trips down memory lane. But I was over walking out to the back of Caldwell Hall.
Yes.
And walking out of the back, and it was amazing just to see how much NBAF was just really popping up and really becoming a part of the K-State landscape in so many ways.
Yes, that's true.
And I know a lot of that is below ground. My folks were in town not too long ago for a K-State basketball game. I believe not this past Saturday, but maybe the Saturday before. It's been so crazy. Everything's just a blur anymore. It's been I'm ready for the weekend, let's just say that. But I took them over there by the site and was kind of looking down and kind of pointing out what I knew at the time about it. And from what I understand, a lot of that, it's popped up above ground, but there's a lot of that that's underground. Isn't mm-hmm. that right? Like two stories, I think is what I've heard?
Close to that, yeah. Close to two standard levels below ground, and that's those are the locations where we have all of the waste handling, waste treatment areas for both solid waste and liquid waste are all down there, plus what's called the pipe inspection level. So like all of your piping for plumbing and for waste, and on occasion some of the wiring for certain parts of the laboratory, all of that stuff is in that pipe inspection level. And the reason for that is that you want somebody to have eyes on all of that stuff so that you can potentially catch any problems or any deficiencies before it really becomes a problem. You want to be able to inspect all those pipes every day. And so there is an entire walkable level. It's not very tall, but there is an entire walkable level down there where you can see all of the piping that comes out of the laboratories.
It really is amazing. Really, since the beginning when we first knew that NBAF was going to come to Manhattan, we knew we were getting a state-of-the-art facility, but I think now that it's really started to take shape, I think we're really kind of starting to notice just how state-of-the-art this facility is going to
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm. It is, and in fact, the first thing I did this morning was I had to go in for my annual safety briefing with the construction management firm, which even though I don't run around on the site all the time, I still have to go through all the safety briefing, and it's just... it's incredible the things in this year's safety briefing that were so different from last year, because there's so much more activity going on, and so there's so much more to be aware of when you're out walking on the site.
Is there any of that that you can share with us as far as some of those differences?
Well, differences are just that there are vastly more people out there and a lot more machinery driving around the site. And so you have to be mindful of all that machinery moving. You have to be mindful of all of the people. And even when we are going through the site, the route that you take through the building can change several times in a single day because of what they may be working on in certain of the spaces. So, for instance, we're not going to go into an area where they're doing a lot of welding or where they're doing a lot of cutting of metal. So as those functions happen during the day, you have to change your route for your walkabout. And that you have to really stay sharp to be able to do that. So it's things like that that you just have to be mindful of.
Brady Bowman here on In Focus, right here on News Radio KMAN, here with MBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Veneer. And Marty, when we're looking at MBAF and that construction that's coming up, it's really peaking out, as we've noticed. How much higher is that going to go? Or is that as many stories now as we see? Is that at the top?
Yes, you're seeing it basically now at its full height. And you'll see a lot more work on the exterior. Clearly, you know, we've got several layers in the building construction that all have to do with safety and security. And then, of course, at the end, you put up the pretty outside stuff that you see in the pictures. So we're getting close to the point where that's going to start to happen. And as I said, a lot of the larger pieces of equipment are now being dropped into the building and being installed. So what you see now is what you're going to get. There isn't going to be much activity going higher or necessarily going outward from the laboratory itself. There are still a couple of outbuildings, separate buildings that are starting under construction now, the transshipment building where we receive supplies and things like that. That's starting to be constructed, but given the size of the laboratory, you'll hardly notice that these other outbuildings are coming up.
Just a reminder to our listeners, phone lines are open. If you have a question about MBAF, 75-537-1350 is the number to call. And is everything still on track as far as construction? And I think we're still shooting at the 2020 for MBAF to open?
We are shooting for 2020 for construction to be finished. And yes, we are still on schedule. It's going to be another couple of years before we actually have people in there working, because we've got to go through a commissioning process and we have to receive all of the permits that we need for all of the disease agents to be able to come into the lab and for the researchers to be approved to do the work. So even though construction will be done, there's still a couple of years of run-up to actual work.
And plus, with something like this and talking about some of the diseases and work that's going to go on at MBAF, not anything we want to rush into. We want to make sure everything's up to snuff, the I's are dotted, T's are crossed.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go ahead and let's see what this phone call is first, see if that's for us. You mentioned some issues with USDA. Is that phone call for us, Dave? Okay, we'll go ahead and take it. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I think last time you were on, you were talking about 2024, 2025, and there's maybe an extension. And also, is it Grapevine, or is it fact that I think the paper had it, so that it's questionable, that maybe the funding had been transferred from Department of Homeland Security to another department, and that the funding may have been curtailed somewhat. Could you elaborate on that? And I'd like to listen. I might have a further question.
Okay, I'm happy to do that. With respect to the first part of your question, we are still on track. Construction of the building will finish in 2020, but because we've got to test all of the systems in the building And we have to have a variety of permits in place before we can start to do research. Those are the things that take another couple of years. So there won't actually be full up operation of the building with research going on until about end of 22, maybe 2023. So that's the time frame that we have in our plan to achieve full up operations. The second part of your question about operation of the building, in the president's fiscal year 19 budget, there is the proposal to move the operations and management of NBAF to the Department of Agriculture. Now, historically, the Department of Agriculture ran the Plum Island Disease Center until the Department of Homeland Security was created. And when Homeland Security was created, DHS took a variety of operations from a variety of other federal government departments. And these agencies and functions were all defined as functions that were important for Homeland Security. So that included the diagnosis and research on foreign animal diseases. So Plum Island at that point was then transferred to the Department of Homeland Security. What the president's budget is proposing now is, for efficiency reasons, that NBAF's operation and management be transferred back to the Department of Agriculture. Now, USDA was always going to be doing the bulk of the research in the building. All this does now is give them the authority to own it and run it. And at this point, of course, it's just a proposal in the budget. It still has to be acted upon by Congress. But I will say that we in DHS are working with our USDA partners to develop plans to make that transition in the event that it is approved by Congress.
Okay, great. Perfect answers. A follow-up question. I understand that when will these people from Plum Island be moving here and purchasing property and living quarters? And also, I've heard grapevine that maybe people will be coming from all over the United States, maybe the world, to do research here on a temporary limited basis, you know, a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year. And will those people be purchasing property, or do you think they'll be leasing, or what is your thought on that?
Well, I can tell you what we expect and plan for with respect to the federal government's perspective and point of view on this. Some parts of your question I can't really address because I don't have those answers. I can tell you that we are working with the folks on Plum Island to talk with them about who amongst that staff is going to want to move to Kansas to come work in this laboratory. And part of that is a function of where they are in their career. You know, are they close to retirement or are they a young scientist just starting out? We're still going to need some people to stay on Plum Island because once everything moves to NBAF, we have to decontaminate and decommission that laboratory and then turn it over to the GSA for disposition of that property. So there will have to be some people that will stay there to do those functions. I think the plan is that people will start staging in here as early as later this year. Some of the engineering and mechanical folks who are going to need to understand how to run the building, I mean literally run the building, are going to have to start coming in right away so that they can be here toward the end of construction and through the commissioning process to, an analogy would be to learn how to drive the car. So some of those folks will be coming here. And when I say some, I mean a handful, a half a dozen. As we get toward the end of construction and laboratories are being equipped, and we need to start writing research project plans and laboratory staffing plans and standard operating procedures, then you're going to see more people start to stage in. We likely will not be fully staffed up until about 2021 or 2022. We're expecting, and once again, you know, USDA will be in charge of the staffing plan, but we're expecting approximately 350 to maybe 400 people. But they'll come kind of in waves. They won't all come at once. For collaborating partners who are not part of the permanent staff here, we do expect that to happen. I, at this point, though, have no idea what those numbers or people will be or what their length of time in town will be. So with respect to buying or renting properties, that is not a question I can answer.
All right, thanks so much. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll come back and we'll do something a little new on the other side, and Marty Veneer is going to be the inaugural participant here on In Focus. Stay tuned, more after the break.